Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, thank you, Dan Hurst. Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton and Mark Halleck. Thank you, Mark.
Hey, so good to see you, brother.
We are in Mark's church basement here in Denver, Colorado, recording these live because we love you. We do, all of our listeners.
Hey, listen, it's pretty nice being in Colorado, isn't it?
It is.
Come on.
It is great. Colorado in December is great.
Yeah, beautiful.
People don't realize Denver in December is not like Anchorage or
Fairbanks. No, exactly.
Fairbanks.
Exactly.
It snows in the mountains.
That's right.
But not here.
It's beautiful, Denver.
And if it snows here, it melts.
Hey, 300 days of sunshine, baby.
300 days
of sunshine a year.
There you go.
Denver, Colorado, it's the best.
Hey, we're going to pick up where we left off last episode, which was ministry to children in the worship service. Now, a lot of times guys think that ministry to children in the worship service means a children's message, and I sort of gave you my feeling about that. I know some of you love the children's messages and you feel called to do them, and by all means, do them if you feel called to do them. I just suggested at times they seem a little bit forced and maybe they break up the worship service in the ways that you kind of hope a kid does something cute or something funny every week. I don't know. And also, It kind of maybe makes the kids feel a little bit like this is for me and nothing else is.
Yeah.
And I want the kids to know that the whole thing is for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen. I love
the entire thing. So let's say, and Mark, real quick, summarize again why children need to be in worship.
Well, I mean, I just think the basic, you know, the basic answer to that would be, one, they're part of the congregation, and pastors have an obligation to shepherd children as well as their parents. And two, they're the next generation, man. It's like we've got to integrate kids into so that they feel like they are truly part of the church's life. The other thing we talked about last time was the reality is a lot of young families are seeing, do you really value children in this church?
Right.
Do you care? And as a pastor in particular, you're setting a tone for how much we love kids, or do we just put up with kids?
And this is probably a leap that I can't really back up, but we did a podcast not long ago where Dr. Rayner and his research showed that young people are leaving their faith earlier now than ever before, at an earlier age. Used to be it was like college age, now it's middle school. They're checking out.
Yeah.
You mentioned in our last podcast, and I agree, that we raised up a whole generation of kids in many churches that they never attended big church.
That's right. Yep.
They were in the nursery, obviously. Then they were in extended session through 4, 5, and 6-year-olds. Then they went to children's church, right?
Yep.
And so they were like 12 before they went to what we call big church.
Yeah.
They didn't grow up experiencing worship.
Even if they went to big church then. I mean, in a lot of churches, I've met a lot of kids, literally college kids, who are like, in middle school, we had a middle school service or high school, we had high school, and so they've never been part of it. And again, you and I have talked about this. Listen, we're all for appropriate programming for children and youth.
Age-graded teaching is important.
It's very important.
But that's not the same thing as corporate worship.
That's right. We're talking here about worship and integrating kids into worship.
And we know even in the Old Testament, kids came together to worship. There are different stories about that. So we know how important that is.
That's exactly right. So let's get into this.
Seven ways you can minister to your children in worship. Number one.
Okay. Greet them by name. I love this, by the way. Greet them by name and engage them in conversation. Bending down to see them on eye level.
Who wrote this wonderful article, by the way?
I think, was it you?
Oh, yeah, it was.
This is so good, though, man. I love this.
I love the praise of men. All right. Greet them by name and engage them in conversation. You can do that. Look,
you can do that.
Look, 99.9% of our churches are like 50 people or less. Let's be honest.
You can learn names.
You can learn the kids' names.
That's right.
Right? Learn their names.
Learn their names and then use the name
when you see the guy who preaches on the pulpit, steps off that pulpit, walks up to a child who's 7 or 8 years old and says, Hey, Grayson, good to see you today, buddy.
Yes,
and if you bend down and get on his level or her level, and if they've got a pet and you know the pet's name, hey, man, how's Tiger doing?
That's right.
I mean, it is so awesome.
Yeah. How are they doing? Ask them what's going on. I'll tell you this. The way I see it is, man, mom and dad are there, but I'm going for that kid first.
That's right.
And you know what? Parents are going to see, how do you treat my kid?
Oh, isn't that
true?
And
are they valued? And it's huge. So
I know.
That's number one. That's really important.
Make eye contact. Bend down to see them. Yeah. Know them by name. Greet them by name. And engage them in conversation.
Yeah.
Like I said, talk to them about something.
Which, let me say this. One of the things that we try to make a goal here at our church is to know at least one thing about every child for the pastors.
Okay.
So that you can engage them.
That's good.
Do they like sports? Are they playing soccer right now? Ask them about their soccer game. Hey, bud, how's it going?
And what if it position? Looks like they've got new shoes on,
well, there you go.
Ask them about it.
Yeah.
Every
cool
kid
shoes.
Loves their new shoes.
That's right. Or they've got a new shirt. Hey,
yeah.
bud, that's a new Bronco shirt.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Right.
I mean, what you got to engage kids on that level.
Absolutely.
Okay, number two, acknowledge to the parents in the worship service how grateful we are that their children are there.
Every Sunday, you need to say, look, I know we've got some kids here today, and parents, thank you for bringing your kids in the worship service. They are welcome here.
Yeah.
Hey, they get a little rowdy. We don't care. We'd love to have children. And just thank you, parents.
Yeah.
You're affirming.
Amen.
Because parents sometimes wonder, should I be bringing my four-year-old in here or not?
They're nervous about it.
Yeah,
am I going to distract people? Am I going to get in trouble?
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Right. And train your congregation. Under no circumstances do you give anybody the stink eye like your kids shouldn't be in here.
No.
And you may have, like we do at Warnell, at Linwood rather, we do have a nursery for birth through four.
Yep.
But most parents don't use it. But if a new person comes with a child, I suppose you do want to let them know that that's available, but don't say, train your people on how to say that. First of all, our door greeter knows what to say, all right?
Yeah. Yep.
She would say, oh, we're so glad you're here today. Hey, we'd love to have your kids in the worship center with us if that's what you would like.
That's
However,
right.
if you'd prefer, we also have, always give them the worship center as the first option.
Yeah.
Not the
that's
second
good.
Option.
That's good.
Don't say, we have a nursery, but if you want them in the worship, you can.
Yep.
That's totally different than saying, hey, you're welcome to bring your children in the worship center with you, but if you'd rather, we do have a nursery for up to age four.
Well, and I would even say this. A lot of churches, if you're a church that, say, the children are with you for the first part of the service before the sermon, and then maybe they leave at the sermon.
That happens a lot.
Regularly, at that point, every week, say, now, if you would like for your children
you
to remain
go.
With you,
there you go.
That would be fantastic. We totally love it. Put it in the hands of the parents and let them know, man, we're for you and your kids, however, whatever that might look like.
That's right. But by all means, do not make them feel like they have to take their kid out.
No. By the way, let me say one more thing. Just thought of this. 2 weeks ago, we had a new family come to our church. And three little kids, sweet little kids, and just greeting them after the service. And the wife starts getting teary because I was just like, boy, it's so good to see you. And, you know, did you move here? Are you from another church? And she starts getting teary and says, well, we've been part of a church for 7 years. And last week, our pastor, our child was loud in worship. And our pastor publicly asked if our child could be taken out of the sanctuary.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is a large church. I couldn't believe
goodness.
This. I mean, there's like 500
goodness.
People in this service.
Oh, my goodness.
And the senior pastor in the middle of the sermon says, that child, we need to get that child out of here. Can you imagine 7 years they were part of this church? Guys.
That breaks my heart.
Oh, I know. I couldn't believe it. And yet, I think this kind of thing happens more often than we realize. I know there's churches in Denver, a couple large churches, that just don't allow children in the worship service.
Oh, that's terrible.
Because of the production value, it goes down. They can't interfere with
Give me a break.
It's unbelievable. So anyway,
give me a break.
Just another example of as small to normal
size
churches.
When I was a kid, on Wednesday night, we always had prayer meeting in the church basement. My mom was in the nursery, and I was like eight, and I was in the, and the teenagers at the back of the prayer meeting were sort of tormenting me to make noise and do stuff. And my dad got really frustrated with me. Three or four times in my life, my dad called me down from the pulpit. That'll freak you out as a kid, trust me.
Especially your sweet dad.
Oh, my sweet dad. So I remember this like it was yesterday, man. I was like 8 years old, and he goes, Mark, Mark. And everybody stops and listens, and I'm like, Mark, I've had about enough of this. I want you to go to that room right over there. It was a Sunday school classroom off of the main room. And I want you to stay in that room in the dark until this is over. He was really upset with me. And the teenagers just snicker, and they think it's funny. So I go in this room, and back then we had the light had a string on it in the middle, and I didn't want to sit in the dark. So I couldn't reach the string, so I stacked two chairs on the table to get up there. And when I pulled the string, the chairs fell, and they fell out the door, and I fell right out in
no
front of my
way.
I threw right out into where my dad was speaking. Oh, it was not a good day for me.
He was not pleased.
He was not pleased. Okay, well, now that we've totally lost track
of number
where we
three. We're at number three.
I don't know why I said that, but I did.
I love it. That's a great story. You have a lot of them.
All right.
Acknowledge the children in the worship service and say something specific just for them.
I did that Sunday, and you brought that up to me, and I've been doing it, and I love doing
That's
it.
That's awesome.
What I said Sunday was just simply, hey, I see we have some children here. Yeah. I want you to know we are glad you're here.
Yeah.
This worship service is for you. Today, we're going to talk about what a great God we have and how Jesus is everything we need.
Yeah.
And thank you for being with us today. We love to have kids here, each of you. Just speak directly.
Super simple, but it's intentional.
I think that's better than a children's message.
Oh, man. So we're glad you're here.
The guy at the platform who's ready to preach singled us out and said he's glad we're sitting here.
Yeah.
Sort of telling us what we're going to learn today.
Yeah. That's so good, man. Yeah, it's a real simple thing, but you've got to be intentional about doing that.
Absolutely.
Number four.
Well, it also tells your congregation kids are important.
Well, that's right. They'll follow your lead.
That's right.
They'll follow your lead. Number four is provide clear direction about our children's ministry every Sunday morning and the options that are available.
Yeah, you already said that. Yeah. You know, even at Linwood, actually, we do have them in there until the sermon.
Yeah.
And so myself or other pastor will say, again, the clear direction is you're welcome to have your children with you of all ages in here. Or if you would rather, they can go to our children's ministry. But make sure they understand what the directions are and it's clear. Also, let them know what other ministry opportunities you might have for children during the week or even some things you might have to give parents. Focus on how you can have parents be gospel-rearing parents.
Yes.
Have some books and resources available at the back of the church on the table that help parents know how to be good parents to their kids.
That's right.
How to shepherd the heart of a child toward Jesus. And let parents know this is a place where not only your kid is going to be welcome, but we're going to help you raise this kid.
Yeah, exactly.
All right?
Yeah, you've got to cast a vision for how your church and the home are working together to disciple the next generation.
Right.
We're in this together. All right, number five, provide a packet of worship materials just for children that they pick up and bring with them into the worship service. I love this. We do this too.
We do this. I was at Warnell. I told Kyle in the previous podcast, I went to Warnell last night. Jimbo Stewart and I were driving around Kansas City, and I'm no longer the pastor there, but they had something going on in the basement, and so we snuck in so Jimbo could see the building where I used to pastor. And sure enough, walking in along the right as you go in the sanctuary was these wonderful hooks with these cool little bags full of things for the kids that would be somewhat appropriate for the worship next Sunday. We do that at Linwood, our little church. You walk in there, there are these bags hanging on hooks, and so kids can take them, and in them are some activities that go with the sermon.
Yes.
It's especially good for parents who feel like their kids need something to do. And what I've noticed is this. Kids initially take those and do them, but if they're in church for very long, they even quit taking them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of like an entry thing that gets them to do it first, but after a while, they don't really even need them.
You know, here's an idea, something that we've done that's been really fun is one of the things we have in that packet, especially for kids who are a little bit older children, is a basic guide for the sermon. And so in there, we say, you know, write down, you know, what are 3 points that pastor talked about, you know, that stood out to you.
Good.
And what I'll often say is, hey, kids, listen, after the service, I want you to come up and share with me something you learned from the sermon.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they'll come up and they're so excited and they've got, oh, pastor, again. And sometimes I can't read the writing at all and that's not the point. Or they've drawn a picture, you know, you were talking about this and this your illustration about some red van and I drew a red van, you know. But what's going on there? We're engaging the kids. They feel like they're part of it. I get to affirm them, encourage them. They're learning how to listen to sermons. And so again, that's a unique thing that a pastor can do.
Absolutely.
You know, that no one else can do.
I love it.
Okay, number six. We've got two more here. Number six.
Take a moment to explain, especially so that children understand, both baptism and Lord's Supper when you offer that.
Yep.
Talk to the children about Lord's Supper and say, this is for people who've accepted Christ and have been baptized. And maybe you haven't done that yet, but you're welcome to watch.
Yeah.
We want you to watch and to see how that happens. And someday, as the Lord leads you of that, and even talk to them about what the... But into baptism, what I've done... is I will ask the kids, I say, hey, would you all like to come up here and stand close to the baptistry? I want them to see it.
Yeah.
And I've even said,
I like that.
Put your hand in the water.
Yeah.
See that water?
Yeah.
And then I talk to them. I give them, and listen, if you're giving the kids a lesson about baptism, you're giving the parents a lesson about
That's
baptism.
True. That's exactly so,
you know,
right.
You know, kids, water cleans us, but this water doesn't clean us.
Yeah.
Jesus cleans us. This water represents the grave, that we are dead, but we're going to bring us up back up to life. Yep. Explain all of that to them, and the adults hear it. But let the children, bring them up. Let them touch the water. Let them be in it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're missing a wonderful teaching. Kids learn by touching and by seeing.
Yeah.
I love baptism as a chance to teach kids.
That is such a great idea. And you're right. It's such a teachable moment because every kid
is wondering, what are you doing?
Oh, I know. What's going on up there?
And immediately they're going to think, well, you get cleansed. You get like a Baptist. A bath.
Like a bath.
Cleansed.
Yeah.
And you guys say, no, that's not what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and we do this because Jesus was baptized and he went on. John put him into the river and brought him up. And we do this. And it shows a picture of death and then raising, you know, when we go to heaven. And it's such an easy way to teach. Don't lose sight of
that. Amen. And you are right. It's as much teaching the parents as it is the kids.
Yeah.
And then I love this one. Number seven, this is our last one, is find ways to actually include the children in your worship service leadership in the church service.
Especially reading scripture.
Yeah.
You get a seven or... Now, don't put them up there if they're not comfortable reading and they've got some reading issues. Don't make them embarrassed. But you've got some kids who can read well.
Yeah.
And talk to their parents and give them plenty of time. Don't spring it on them. But say, you know, would you be able to, and there's nothing sweeter than seeing an 8-year-old get up there and maybe you put them on a stool and they stand behind the pulpit or something and they read God's word. It will grip your heart.
That's awesome. Here, you know, let's think about some other ways too. And again, it's, you know, depending on your church, you've got to make the call on what is appropriate and what, you know, for us, a couple other things. Scripture reading's one. We still pass the plate offering. And a lot of times we'll see, we don't want to reserve that just for our deacons.
Right.
So a lot of times they'll grab a little kid to help them, like a deacon or an usher or whatever. And so you've always got kids.
Oh, that's great.
And they love doing that.
That's great.
I would even say worship music. So like, for instance, you know, my son, I'm really excited about this. You know, as he's gotten older, he's a senior in high school. And, you know, he's busy playing sports and all that, but he gets to once a month play electric guitar in the worship band as a high school kid.
That's great.
And that has been so formative for him
in
connecting with others in terms of worship and who he is and things like that. And this is where I would say this. I just believe strongly, you've got to decide what your ultimate values are in your worship service and when it comes to music. And of course, we don't want sloppy music, but I would say this, the church is different than a rock concert venue.
Yep.
And the win, in my mind, is as we integrate younger people into that worship experience, that's a win.
It is.
And so our worship pastor here does such a great job of integrating, working with them, obviously, but integrating them into our worship music leadership. And I think it's a great way to get young
and
people involved.
Kids like to play instruments. So absolutely. And I agree. You, Kyle and I, on a previous podcast, you can be so good in your instrumentation that you're too good for the congregation. They won't sing along with you.
That's true.
So
that's a good point.
Less is more. I mean, Joe Kreider at Southwestern Seminary, when it comes to music, always says less is more. So put your kids up there if they can do it.
Yeah.
Have them read scripture if they can.
Yep.
I love the idea of having them carry the offering plate or that with you. Also, one of the things we do at Linwood is this wonderful little lad who's there most Sundays, and my wife is the one who generally stands at the door and passes out the bulletins.
Yeah.
And he stands with her. Or there's another little girl. There's always a child.
Yeah.
Jill's on one side of the door. There's always a child on the other side of the door.
Yeah,
right?
That's cool.
And the thing is, first of all, the kids feel like they enjoy doing that. It also makes a statement to families with children.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a child here passing out a bulletin. I mean, kids matter here.
That's right. That's right.
And it's something they can do, and they like to do it. So, yeah, absolutely.
You know, one more idea is, you know, if you've got a strong deacon ministry, one of the things that we do, we call them junior deacons.
And so
they'll get a little guy who just follows them around all morning because we have what we call deacons of the week.
Oh, I love that.
And so we'll have four deacons who are kind of on all morning helping with, you know, getting toilet paper, just doing whatever. And they'll have a little junior deacon. You might have a little first grade kid. who's just following the deacon. He feels so proud that he gets to be a junior deacon for the day. Just stuff like that, man. It's a joy to get kids involved. Yeah.
And if you only got one or two kids in your church, do it with one or two
Do
kids.
It with one or two. Doesn't matter. That's right.
Hey, I hope this has been helpful to you. Mark has written a new book on this, and we'll put it in the show notes, Kyle. It'll be there, and you can check us out at churchreplanters.com. And please, if you haven't subscribed to our podcast, we really would appreciate that. And thank you for everything you do for the kingdom. You are a hero to us.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor, or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.